And if you're a visitor here today and you're like, whoa, this is a weird church, that's my wife. My name is Colin Gregory. I'm the associate pastor here today. I'm also a United States Marine and someone who absolutely, thank you, I appreciate that, and someone who absolutely is in love with this country, and so is this church. And so Pastor Corey had contacted me about today, about this service, and about Memorial Day tomorrow, and the importance of Memorial Day in the church. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'd like to lead you this morning in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Thomas Campbell once said, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." Many celebrate the long Memorial Day weekend with barbecues and family get-togethers, but Memorial Day is so much more than a chance to kick off the summer months. Memorial Day commemorates all men and women who have died in U.S. military service. It's not to be confused with Veterans Day, which celebrates the service of U.S. military veterans, or Armed Forces Day, which honors men and women currently in service. Memorial Day began a few years after the Civil War in 1868. An organization of Union veterans established the holiday, then known as Decoration Day, as a time to decorate the graves of fallen soldiers with flowers. From then until present day, the solemn holiday has been formally observed at the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. In the year 2000, Congress passed a National Moment of Remembrance Act, which encourages Americans to observe a moment of silence at 3 p.m. local time to remember those who have died in service. Memorial Day is seen by some as just a long weekend to kick off the summer and enjoy the good weather. But Memorial Day is something so much more. Memorial Day is the day to remember commitment, selflessness, dedication, and the sacrifice of life so that we can enjoy the freedoms we so desperately cling to. My fellow Americans, we do not forget. Whether it's an hour ago or a century ago, we remember. Just ask the family of Private George Watson, who gave his life on March 8, 1943, saving comrades as Japanese bombers rained fire upon the USS Jacob, a ship in which Watson was stationed on in New Guinea. Watson's extraordinarily valorous actions, daring leadership, and self-sacrifice devotion to his fellow man exemplified the finest traditions of military service. First Lieutenant Pascal Poulaw, a Kiowa Nation member, enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1942. During his 22 years in the Army, he was awarded the Purple Heart and Silver Star for his bravery and sacrifice before his retirement in 1962. But the story doesn't end there. When his three sons went off to Vietnam, Poulaw felt compelled to enlist to be with his kids. A few years after military retirement, he sacrificed his commission as first lieutenant and reenlisted as a first sergeant to go to combat in Vietnam. On November 7, 1967, Poulaw led a squad that was ambushed during Operation Shenandoah II in the Loc Ninh, a region in the southeast district of Vietnam. Hit by fire, he attempted to pull one of his wounded soldiers to safety before he died of gunshot wounds. We are here today for heroes like Pascal Poulaw, who have given their lives so that others can enjoy freedom. But wartime is not the only time we remember the lives that are lost securing our freedoms. In August 2021, during a politically charged and poorly planned withdrawal of our U.S. troops from Afghanistan, a Taliban suicide bomber killed 11 Marines, one Navy corpsman, and one Army soldier, and we will not forget them. United States Marines Sergeant Johnny Picardo, 25, Lawrence, Massachusetts. Sergeant Nicole L. Gee, 23, of Sacramento, California. Staff Sergeant Darren T. Hoover, 31, of Salt Lake City, Utah. Corporal Hunter Lopez, 22, of Indo, California. Corporal Deegan W. Page, 23, of Omaha, Nebraska. Corporal Humberto A. Sanchez, 22, of Logan Sports, Indiana. Lance Corporal David L. Espinoza, 20, of Rio Bravo, Texas. Lance Corporal Jared M. Schmidt, 20, of St. Charles, Missouri. Lance Corporal Riley L. McCollum, 20, of Jackson, Wyoming. Lance Corporal Dylan R. Mirola, 20, of Rancho Cucamonga, California. Lance Corporal Kareem M. Nakua, 20, of Naro, California. Navy Corpsman Maxton W. Sovak, 22, of Berlin Heights, Ohio. And Army Staff Sergeant Ryan C. Krause, 23, of Corrington, Tennessee. We honor these heroes by remembering their sacrifice and supporting those who currently serve in our armed forces. Their sacrifices are felt here, and you can rest assured it will always be painfully felt by the Gold Star families who mourn them for the rest of their lives. Rosanna Powers is a Marine Corps veteran. On August 17, 2004, her brother, Lance Corporal Caleb Powers, was killed in Iraq. The very next day, Roseanne's fiance, Marine Sergeant Richard Lord, was also killed there. In a Fox News commentary, Rosanna wrote, quote, "We can debate the war's legacy and what it means for the future of American foreign policy, but remember who stands ready to protect our freedoms, to have those debates, and to remember those who died to keep that freedom safe. It's up to us to honor them in our own way by trying to make the country they died for a better place," end quote. These men and women who died for our freedoms represent the diverse patchwork that is the United States of America. They were rich, they were poor, they were black, they were white, they were male, they were female, they were from cities and farms and suburbs. They came from every ethnicity, background, and political spectrum. In short, they look like each and every one of us. Their one common characteristic is that they all took an oath to die for America if called upon. We can ensure that the memories of these heroes and their sacrifice are not in vain. We can ensure that the future generations understand the importance of service, of sacrifice, and honor. We can ensure that our own community's service, that our country remains strong, free, and prosperous. Memorial Day is a time for Americans to celebrate and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice while serving in the military. Memorial Day commemorates the men and women who died serving in the United States Armed Forces, particularly those who died as a result of wounds sustained in battle. In other words, the purpose of Memorial Day is to memorialize the veterans who made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. But you're going to find some veterans that find it dismaying today, especially when they're thanked. It's a time to remember those who lost their lives and could not come home. To us veterans who came home, they were our brothers and sisters. They were our family. To those they left behind, they were mothers, fathers, siblings, aunts, uncles, godparents, friends, neighbors, teachers, police, firemen, caregivers, postal workers. They were Americans. They are the reason why we, the living, have the luxury and freedom we enjoy today. As we gather today here in church, in this place of worship, we are able to freely worship Jesus Christ, who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our lives. We are reminded of the words of President Ronald Reagan on Memorial Day in 1982. Quote, "The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. it has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they, whom we commemorate, will willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final and less heroic way, be willing to give of ourselves. End quote. Today, we are the living, and we are dedicated to continuing the work of those who have gone before us. We are dedicated to preserving the memory of our fallen heroes and declare our unending gratitude and support to their families. So let us take this time to remember and honor the men and women who have given their lives for this great country. Let us reflect on their courage, their sacrifice, their dedication to cause, to causes greater than themselves. And let us recommit ourselves to the cause of freedom, justice, and democracy, so that the legacy of our fallen heroes will live on for generations to come. We continue to mourn their loss, but most of all, we celebrate their life. Thank you. God bless America. God bless those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. Pastor Corey.
Stand, if you would. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you settle all across this country and around the world where families of American soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, that you would begin to comfort them right now. And as a community of faith at North Elevation Church, we pray peace and calm upon you now in Jesus' name. And that where the tears are flowing in the memory of the loss will be dispelled by laughter of remembering their life and all that they did to bring joy to those families. Father, we lift up all the families and we ask, Father God, that you minister in a special way by your Holy Spirit to them now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Ronald Smithy that you see on the screen was a lieutenant. He is not just somebody that carries my last name, but somebody that I knew. He is my father's first cousin, and as I've been told, he is my cousin first removed. No, first cousin once removed. I'll get that right. See, I don't keep up with all of that. The Gillespies do, you know, I just say they're cousins. But I knew Ronald. Him and his fiance used to keep my brother and I. And I was with him the day before he shipped out. You'll see on the screen that it shows exactly where he is located on the wall at the Vietnam Memorial. Ronnie was only in Vietnam 2 weeks when he made the ultimate sacrifice. At 10 years old, I was at his funeral. I will never, ever, ever forget what I saw. The honor that they brought to Lieutenant Ronald Smithy captured my heart in how we should remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. As a pastor, I have done many military funerals, but never have I seen the honor given as I saw in 1969. And if I could find a way to get it done, I would want every person who gives their life to be honored in the way Ronnie was. So I'm going to speak from an eyewitness of that funeral and knowing the man who gave his ultimate life for our country's freedom. after he died in Vietnam, his older brother left college. He was in medical school and joined and became a medic on the ground. So I have a history of family that have been in war, but Ronnie paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. So today, the words that will pass through my lips, I dedicate to every man and woman from these United States that made the ultimate sacrifice. I dedicate the words that will pass through my lips, and I hope that you'll have an ear to hear and not be distracted, because it's a message to the church. To my grandson, who just did his first rotation of tour, back at home base, but he did a rotation and things I can't talk about from this platform this morning, I dedicate these words to what he's doing. He is standing on the front lines for what? Our freedom. So I'm going to ask you to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us today. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to begin in verse 1. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. But here's where we need to land, and we need to spend some time. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. I don't like who's in charge. You are commissioned to pray for them. Well, I think they're nuts. You are commissioned to pray for them. Well, our personalities don't jive. You are commissioned to pray for them. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of the decisions that are being made, church, it is our duty to pray for those in authority. I think one of the sins of the church is we pick and choose who we're going to pray for when Scripture tells me I'm to pray for all people and I'm to pray for all leaders. We want the nation to change, correct? We need to start praying more earnestly for those who are leading. Amen? I didn't get a big amen out of that. We need to pray more earnestly for those who are leading. The last text I got from my grandson was, I know you and Anna are praying for our country. I knew what he was saying. He has to be careful. I sure hope you're praying for our leaders. I hope you are too. We have got to pray for our leaders. Well, I don't like them. That doesn't give you an out to your calling. Wow, I wish we'd go back to listen to what Colin was talking about. I'm not even going to read the rest of that I have, because the truth is we must start praying for our leaders more earnestly. All those in authority. Did you hear what I said? All those in authority. Michelle was doing a lot of interceding yesterday for what's going on down in Austin yesterday. And you may think, what's going on in Austin? That's part of the issue in the church. We don't know. And we need to stay informed and be connected. Let me say it this way. You need to be way more curious about what's going on as a church. Let me just drill down. Regardless of what side of the aisle politically you are on, doesn't matter. It is clear. Until the church really begins to stand up, to speak out, and on their face pray up more to heaven, the truth is that we could see a rapid unraveling of things in this nation on a level we've never seen before, from sea to shining sea. It is the church's responsibility to bring change. And we're going to do that on our face. on our face. Now let me meddle for just a moment, because I'm going to ask this question maybe more than once. When was the last time you asked God what His agenda was for you in the morning versus your agenda? I think I need to have Rachel re-preach her message last week. Because the bottom line is, we are just way too selfish. We get up in the morning and all we can think about is what I want, what I need, what I want to see God do. I want you to move this person, that person, God, because I got the answers. I want to be in the right place to make the right to do make these deals. We're just all about us. And we need to get up in the morning and ask God, what should I be praying today? And I would not be shocked if it's on a regular basis that He's telling you, you need to get on your face for your nation. And pray according to what is in 1 Timothy. You need to pray for all people and especially the leaders. We all want quiet, peaceful lives, but we're praying in the wrong direction. We need to be praying on our face for this nation. It's got to happen. The truth is that we have become the divided United States. We need to realize that. And in some cases, it's become the divided state. There are states that are divided. Would you think that the church needs to begin to stand up and speak out and pray up to heaven more? Instead of just stepping back and going, well, you know, it's not affecting me. It is affecting you. And the other thing we need to consider is we better start considering how it's going to affect the next generation. When someone tells me I'm not sure that I want to bring a child into this country and have a baby, folks, we need to pray. Come on. Church, we need to be praying. And we don't need to be praying passively. We need to be praying on our face most earnestly with all of our being for the United States of America. Because Ronnie and over a million others gave their life, regardless of how you feel about some of the wars, as Colin clearly stated, they went to defend these borders. So you could sit here today and enjoy all the things you're going to do over the weekend. They deserve, through their bloodshed, that we who are alive still in this nation, that we pray for this nation more earnestly. And there are several families here who have got children in the military. And we shouldn't, and grandchildren, we shouldn't be the only ones praying for this nation most earnestly with all of our being on our face. George Washington made a statement, but I'm going to want you to read the statement, but I want to highlight the very end of what he said there. He said, he's telling never a nation should never be expected to see God smile or show favor on this country if we're not going to live by the rules of God. I'm paraphrasing that because of time. It is time. Showed you hear me, my Bible, I meant to bring it up. It is time that the church live by the book. That we get on our face and begin to pray and to repent for the church, not living by what the Bible says is good and what is right. And we need to begin to pray earnestly that evil and bad will be rooted out. But the church has got to live it, not just say it, but live it. And then pray it. As Washington is telling us, you want the favorable smile of God? Then you got to live by what God has ordained. And God has ordained this book, and we need to live by the book. People gave their lives so that you could have the book freely and walk around and open it up without being thrown in jail, and that happens all over the world. Church, as you go through this Memorial Day weekend, I want you to have fun, but don't forget your purpose. Don't forget your purpose. I'm going to share several pinned truths this morning with the time I have left. But before I do the first one, I wasn't going to share this till July, but I'm going to share it today because the Holy Spirit told me to, because I want you to be praying. I'm in the process of writing 3 devotionals, books, from all the 37 years of the things that I've penned, truths that I've pinned down. And one of our overseers is going to publish the book. We have an editor in place. We hope to have it to you by the time we have one of them, by the time we have our 13th anniversary. So I want you to listen carefully to the truths that I've penned today, because it's all tied to what God is calling us to do as a nation. First truth, as the church, we must ask ourselves with a serious tone of voice, will we sit by and watch our culture fall apart and our families disintegrate? Because we're too self-absorbed to pray for this nation. How much time do we spend praying for the nation? Because it affects all of that. How often do we pray for our nation? We like to talk about our nation and what it's doing wrong, but we got to stop talking and we got to get on our face and get the mind of Christ. Amen? In 1986, 87, I met now Dr. Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans in Dallas. And from the day that I met him, I was about 6 months to a year into being on staff and full-time ministry, which that's all I've done since then. Had a conversation with Pastor Evans, and from that day forward, I have, from afar, I have listened to his sermons, I've read his books, I continue to pay attention to the things that he pens, and he pens something that I cannot not share with you this morning. Pastor Evans said, the future of our culture is in the hands of Christians because the case of our culture demise, cultural demise, is innately spiritual. And if a problem is spiritual, its cure must be spiritual as well. If we Christians are going to help turn our nation to God, we must fall on our knees and on our faces before God and pray. I love what he pens here. We must not only talk about prayer, but pray. Not only agree on the importance of prayer, but pray. Not only preach on the power of prayer, but pray. And then he penned, as Billy Graham once said, to get our nation on its feet, we must get on our knees. Recently, I was invited to pray in the Tarrant County Commissioner's Court. And I'm not even going to give you the judge of Tarrant County's name because, you know what? Everybody in this room needs to know who the Tarrant County judge is in your county. So I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to have you go find it. Whatever county you live in. Let me give you how the Tarrant County judge explained his position. And I thought, this is great. You need to understand the importance of the commissioner's court in your county and the county judge. He's like the governor of the county. Or you could say he's like the mayor of the county. It's very important. Okay? And so he invited me and Rochelle to come, and he wanted me to pray and open up the court. When we walked into his office, his greatest concern, listen, greatest concern was, would I pray in Jesus' name? I am very vocal with pastors when I don't hear that. And some don't talk to me anymore. His concern was, would I pray in Jesus' name? Or would I just say, in His name? What was interesting was our good friend, who is his chief of staff, giggled and grinned. It kind of got the judge's attention. He looked over at him. He knows me. That ain't going to happen. And before I could say anything, Rochelle was already telling me, that ain't going to happen. You need to be aware of what's going on in Tarrant County. Commissioner's Court has not been a great fun place to be because our county judge is an absolute fire-breathing, vocal Christian. And Woke and all of them are not happy. And they were in that court. It was packed all the way around the walls. And I counted almost, I think, right at 12 police officers in the room. Normally when I go pray in a place, there's one or two. Folks, we need to wake up to what's going on in our country. When he said, announced I was going to pray, and then he said where I was with, pastor, whatever, da-da-da, and then I walked up to the platform to do the prayer. When he did that, it kind of got quiet, but it didn't get quiet. Because they don't respect. Are you with me? This is where we live. Until I said, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this court. And there was a shudder in the room. And it got really quiet. And then I prayed. Church, stop being non-vocal. Stand up. Speak out. And get on your face and pray up more. Don't be afraid. Oh, they were all in the room. I'd identified them. I'm sitting in there. I'm going, oh, there's that group. There's that group. That's a group. I can't wait till I get up there. Why are we afraid when the God of heaven is on our side? We got to stand up, folks. Quit talking about it and get involved on your face. And see what God wants you to do. Then the judge invited us to a private meeting in the council room where they have their meetings, chambers, like committee meetings and things like that. By invitation only. And Rochelle and I are going to be on his advisory board of pastors to the Tarrant County judge. I didn't ask for that. I didn't look for it. I didn't put my name in a hat. I just seek the face of God and He just does stuff. And being the smart judge he is and the people he had around him, they had already selected three people to pray. It was a prayer meeting. Come on now. And the first man that stood up to pray, first thing he did was he repented for the pastors who wouldn't stand up. And then he repented for the church that won't stand up. Now, we were all supposed to be dignified in the room, but I want to go over and go, high five. Church, it's time to stand up. It is time to speak up. It is time to get on our face and pray up. Because people gave their lives for the freedom that you have right now. And there is a ton of stuff going on to take your freedoms away from you. And we have got to get more vigilant. Stop griping all the time and start praying all the time. Penn Truth, 2 Chronicles 7:14 contains two life-changing words, if and then. Life-changing words, if and then. What I'm about to do is go into that passage of Scripture, but I'm going to let you see it as the Holy Spirit always brings it forth to me. You've heard me say that I have wreck me moments. That's when God gets my attention, shakes my foundation, wakes me up and says, you need to pay attention to what I've just put in front of you. You need to listen. You need to move on this. I don't need you to hesitate on this. I need you to get on your face and repent. I need you to move. So you get to see this passage of Scripture as I see it by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm not taking anything out of context. I want you to see what the Holy Spirit highlights to me in this verse of Scripture. Verse 14, if my people. We claim 2 Chronicles 7:14, but then we don't do what it says. We quote the verse or we throw it out there like, question is, are we doing it? It says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. Let's pause right there. What is the very first thing he says? Humble yourself. He didn't say repent of your sins first, did he? Humble yourself. That's the key to everything. Who's first? God or ourselves? God or our agenda? God or our problems? God or our issues? Who's first? Who's first? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves. Watch this. Bypass the other. It's all key to being humble. Because if you'll humble yourself, you're going to repent. Because once you're in the humility part, you start seeing stuff. You don't like it. So you start repenting. Then I will hear from heaven. Pause. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will hear from heaven. Anybody with me so far? Then will I hear from heaven. And then verse 15 always gets left out. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will hear from heaven and my eyes will open and I'll move on what you're praying about. Anybody with me so far? Want to turn this nation around? We're making petitions from earth for a heavenly intrusion into the evil in this country. And we can't do that here and there. We've got to get serious about it. Let me say this. We're always wanting the hand of God to move. I'm going to tell you what. When you do things the right way and humble yourself before God, repent of the things you need to repent of, and you begin to pray earnestly on your face, all it takes is the finger of God to be injected upon this earth and everything will change. Everything will change. Let's not forget what Colin shared with us today. Because people gave their lives so you can hear this message today. Thought about that? They gave their lives so you could hear this. And we do this in honor of them because we, the living, need to get on our face and pray more earnestly for this country. Penn Truth, I'm going to put three together in one. The kind of prayer the church has to step into reclaims souls, the family unit in the United States of America. Such prayer must become a higher priority in our busy schedules. Take back your calendar for what matters most to God and get self out of the way. Yeah, but you don't know all the things we're facing. No, I don't. You don't know all the things we're facing. But it doesn't change my responsibility to pray for all people and for the leaders of this country. Okay? That never changes. Take back your calendar for what matters most to God. History tells me when Nehemiah heard about the condition of Jerusalem, he prayed day and night. Nehemiah 1:4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. That means day and night. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You've heard me say this before. I was up last night in my bed for a while praying because I was burdened for this country. I was burdened for our state over what's going on. I'm going to ask the same question I've asked before. When was the last time you pulled an all-nighter in behalf of your country? Do we care about what's going on to the point that I would give myself to a night of prayer? Or at least give myself to an hour of prayer for this nation? My final statement this morning as Rochelle comes to the platform. The church cannot expect divine intrusion of healing in our land with just a miniature prayer flung at heaven sporadically. And I mean what I penned. Because that's what I sense that's going on. Is that when something goes south for a moment or we hear about it, we just kind of fling a prayer. But if it doesn't affect me, we don't pray. Whether it's affecting you immediately right now, it's affecting you. Everything that goes on in this country affects us. What's going on in our state capital right now could radically affect us. So we've got to pray. And we got to be more diligent with it. Amen. People gave their lives. I am constantly reminded of Ronnie. Ronald. I called him Ronnie as a kid. I mean, I'm serious. I'm constantly reminded about him. And part of that is I've asked the Holy Spirit to constantly keep me in remembrance of him because he gave his life so that I would have the opportunity to speak to you today. We've got to get a hold of that reality. Today we got a shower for our daughter-in-law. The baby's coming. Gabriella will be here pretty soon. That's going on this afternoon. Then there's Memorial Day. I understand. I'm not here. Nobody is trying to ruin your weekend, but the Holy Spirit is trying to wake up the church to understand the importance of this weekend. Church, we got to start praying more earnestly. I was having a conversation with Eric yesterday about the lack of the honor to those who have given their lives on this weekend. We've got to honor those who have given their lives so we can live in this country. I just saw Modeste over there. We need to understand that they gave their lives so Modeste could have the opportunity to come here and live. And for Agnes, they appreciate it. I know, I've talked to them. Why don't we, who were born here, appreciate it more? Come on. Father, you told me to speak this word and then trust you with the results of what you're going to do. And so I do, in Jesus' name.